May lightning strike me even as I speak. May all men call me cowardly and weak if any fear or scruple holds me back from settling things at once with that great quack.
Now, don't give way to violent emotion. Your father's merely talked about this notion, and words and deeds are far from being one. Much that's talked about's left undone.
No! I must stop that scoundrel's machinations. I'll go and tell him off. I'm out of patience.
You calm down and be practical. I had rather my mistress dealt with him and with your father. She has some influence on Tartuffe, I've noted. He hangs upon her word, seems most devoted, and may indeed be smitten by her charm. Pray heaven, 'tis true, 'twould do our cause no harm. She sent for him just now to sound him out on this affair you're so incensed about. She'll find out where he stands, and tell him, too, what dreadful strife and trouble will ensue if he lends countenance to your father's plan. I couldn't get in to see him, but his man says he's almost finished with his prayers.
Ah.
Go now. I'll catch him as he comes downstairs.
I want to hear this conference, and I will.
No, they must be alone.
Oh, I'll keep still.
Oh, not you. I know your temper. You'll start a brawl and shout and stamp your foot and spoil it all. Get on now.
I won't! I have a perfect right.
No, you're a nuisance. He's coming. Get out of sight.
Oh. Hang up my hair, sir. Put my scourge in place, and pray around for heaven's perpetual grace. I'm going to the prison now to share my last few coins with the poor wretches there.
Dear God, what affectation. What a fate.
You wish to see me?
Yes.
For mercy's sake, please, take this handkerchief before you speak.
What?
Cover that bosom, girl. The flesh is weak, and unclean thoughts are difficult to control. Such sights as those can undermine the soul.
Your soul, it seems, has very poor defenses, and flesh makes quite an impact on your senses. It's strange that you're so easily excited. My own desires are not so soon ignited. And if I saw you, naked as a beast, not all your hide would tempt me in the least.
Girl, speak more modestly. Unless you do, I shall be forced to take my leave of you.
Oh, no, it's I who must be on my way. I've just one little message to convey. Madame is coming down and begs you, sir, to wait and have a word or two with her.
Gladly.
That had a softening effect. I think my guess about him is correct.
Will she be wrong?
No. That's her step, I hear. Oh, here she is, and I shall disappear.
May heaven, whose infinite goodness we adore, preserve your body and soul forevermore, and bless your days and answer thus the plea of one who is its humblest votary.
I thank you for that pious wish, but please do take a chair and let's be more at ease.
I trust you are once more well and strong.
Oh, yes. The fever didn't last for long.
My prayers are too unworthy, I'm sure, to have gained from heaven this most gracious cure. But lately, madam, my every supplication has had for object your recuperation.
You shouldn't have troubled so. I don't deserve it.
Your health is priceless, madam, and to preserve it, I'd gladly give mine own in all sincerity.
Sir, you outdo us all in Christian charity. You've been most kind. I count myself your debtor.
Was nothing, madam. I long to serve you better.
Well, there's a private matter I'm anxious to discuss. I'm glad there's no one here to hinder us.
I, too, am glad. It floods my heart with bliss to find myself alone with you like this. For just this chance, I prayed with all my power, but prayed in vain until this happy hour.
This won't take long, sir. And I hope you'll be entirely frank and unconstrained with me.
Indeed, there's nothing I'd rather do than bear my inmost heart and soul to you. First, let me say that what remarks I've made about the constant visits you are paid were prompted not by any mean emotion, but rather by a pure and deep devotion, a fervent zeal.
No need for explanation. Your sole concern, I'm sure, was my salvation.
Quite so. And such great fervor do I feel.
Oh,
please. You're pinching.
'Twas from excess of zeal. I never meant to cause you pain, I swear. I'd rather...
What can your hand be doing there?
Feeling your gown. What soft, fine woven stuff.
Please, I'm extremely ticklish. That's enough.
My, my. What lovely lace work on your dress. The workmanship's miraculous, no less. I've not seen anything to equal.
Yes, quite, but let's talk business for a bit. They say my husband means to break his word and give his daughter to you, sir. Had you heard?
He did once mention it, but I confess I dream of quite a different happiness. It's elsewhere, madam, that my eyes discern the promise of that bliss for which I yearn.
Ah, I see. You care for nothing here below.
Well, my heart's not made of stone, you know.
All your desires mount heavenward, I'm sure, in scorn of all that's earthly and impure.
A love of heavenly beauty does not preclude a proper love for earthly pulchritude. Our senses are quite rightly captivated by perfect works our Maker has created. Some glory clings to all that heaven has made. In you, all heaven's marvels are displayed. On that fair face, such beauties have been lavished, the eyes are dazzled, and the heart is ravished. How could I look on you, oh flawless creature, and not adore the author of all nature, feeling a love both passionate and pure for you, his triumph of self. At first, I trembled, lest that love should be a subtle snare that hell had laid for me. I vowed to flee the sight of you, eschewing a rapture that might prove my soul's undoing. But soon, fair being, I became aware that my deep passion could be made to square with rectitude and my bounden duty. I thereupon surrendered to your beauty. It is, I know, presumptuous on my part to bring you this poor offering of my heart. And it is not my merit, heaven knows, but your compassion on which my hopes repose. You are my peace, my solace, my salvation. On you depends my bliss or desolation. I bide your judgment, and as you think best, I shall be either miserable or blessed.
Your declaration is most gallant, sir. But don't you think it's out of character? You'd have done better to restrain your passion and think before you spoke in such a fashion. It ill becomes a pious man like you.
I may be pious, but I'm human, too. With your celestial charms before his eyes, a man has not the power to be wise. I know such words sound strangely coming from me, but I'm no angel, nor was meant to be. And if you blame my passion, you must needs reproach as well the charms on which it feeds. Your loveliness I had no sooner seen than you became my soul's unrivaled queen. Before your seraph glance, divinely sweet, my heart's defenses crumbled in defeat, and nothing, fasting, prayers, or tears might do could stay my spirit from adoring you. My eyes, my sighs have told you in the past what now my lips make bold to say at last. And if in your great goodness you will deign to look upon your slave and ease his pain, if in compassion for my soul's distress you'll stoop to comfort my unworthiness, I'll raise to you in thanks for that sweet manner an endless hymn, an infinite hosanna. With me, of course, there need be no anxiety, no fear of scandal or of notoriety.
These young court gallants, whom all the ladies fancy, are vain in speech, in action rash and chancy. When they succeed in love, the world soon knows it. No favors granted them, but they disclose it, and by the looseness of their tongues, profane the very altar where their hearts have lain. Men of my sort, however, love discreetly, and you may trust our reticence completely. My keen concern for my good name ensures the absolute security of yours. In short, I offer you, with heart sincere, love without scandal, pleasure without fear.
Ivor. Heard your well-turned speeches to the end, and what you urge I clearly apprehend. Aren't you afraid that I may take a notion to tell my husband of your warm devotion, and that, supposing he were duly told, his feelings toward you might grow rather cold?
I know, dear lady, that your exceeding charity will lead your heart to pardon my temerity, that you'll excuse my violent affection as human weakness, human imperfection, and that, oh, fairest, you'll bear in mind that I am but flesh and blood and am not blind.
Some women might do otherwise, perhaps, but I shall be discreet about your lapse. I'll tell my husband nothing of what's occurred. If, in return, you will give your solemn word to advocate as forcefully as you can the marriage of Valère and Marianne, renouncing all desire to dispossess another of his rightful happiness, and...
No! We'll not hush up this vile affair. I heard it all inside that chamber there, where heaven, in order to confound the pride of this great rascal, prompted me to hide. Ah, now I have my long-awaited chance to punish his deceit and arrogance and give my father clear and shocking proof of the black character of his dear Tartuffe.
Ah, no, Damis, I'll be contented. He will study to deserve my leniency. I've promised silence. Don't make me break my word. Oh, to make a scandal would be too absurd. Good wives laugh off such trifles and forget them. Why should they tell their husbands and upset them?
You have your reasons for taking such a course, and I have reasons, too, of equal force. To spare him now would be insanely wrong. I've swallowed my just wrath for far too long and watched this insolent bigot bringing strife and bitterness into our family life. Too long he's meddled in my father's affairs, thwarting my marriage hopes and poor Valère's. It's high time my father was undeceived. And now I've proof that can't be disbelieved. Proof that was furnished me by heaven above. It's too good not to take advantage of. This is my chance, and I deserve to lose it if for one moment I hesitate to use it.
Damis!
No! I must do what I think right. Oh, madam, my heart is bursting with delight. And say whatever you will, I'll not consent to lose the sweet revenge on which I'm bent. I'll settle matters without more ado.
Ah, no.
And here, most opportunely, is my cue.
Father, I'm glad you've joined us. Let us advise you of some fresh news, which doubtless will surprise you. You've just now been repaid with interest for all your loving kindness to our guest. He's proved his warm and grateful feelings towards you. It's with a pair of horns he would reward you. Yes, I surprised him with your wife and heard his whole adulterous offer, every word. She, with her all too gentle disposition, would not have told you of his proposition
But I shall not make terms with brazen lechery and feel that not to tell you would be treachery.
And I hold that one's husband's peace of mind should not be spoilt by cattle of this kind. One's honor doesn't require it. To be proficient in keeping men at bay is quite sufficient. These are my sentiments. And I wish, Damis, that you had heeded me and held your peace.
Can it be true? This dreadful thing I hear.
Yes, brother, I'm a wicked man, I fear, a wretched sinner, all depraved and twisted, the greatest villain that ever existed. My life's one heap of crimes that grows each minute. There's not but foulness and corruption in it. And I perceive that heaven, outraged by me, has chosen this occasion to mortify me. Charge me with any deed you wish to name. I'll not defend myself, but take the blame. Believe what you are told and drive Tartuffe like some base criminal from beneath your roof. Yes, drive me hence, and with a parting curse. I shan't protest, for I deserve far worse.
Ah, you deceitful boy. How dare you try to stain his purity with so foul a lie?
What? Are you taken in by such a bluff? Did you not hear?
Enough, you rogue, enough.
No, brother, let him speak. You're being unjust. Believe his story. The boy deserves your trust. Why, after all, should you have faith in me? How can you know what I might do or be? Is it on my good actions that you base your favor? Do you trust my pious face? No, don't be deceived by hollow shows. I'm far, alas, from being what men suppose. Though the world takes me for a man of worth, I am truly the most worthless man on earth. Yes, my dear son, speak out now. Call me the chief of sinners, a wretch, a murderer, a thief. Load me with all the names men most abhor. I'll not complain, I've earned them all and more. I'll kneel here while you pour them on my head as a just punishment for the life I've led.
This is too much, dear brother. Have you no heart?
Are you so hoodwinked by this rascal's art?
Be still, you monster! Brother, I pray you rise. Villain!
But
silence!
Can't you realize?
One word more and I'll tear you limb from limb!
In God's name, brother, don't be harsh with him. I'd rather far be tortured at the stake than see him bear one scratch for my poor sake.
Ingrate!
If I must beg you on bended knee to pardon him.
Such goodness cannot be. Now there's true charity.
What?
You villain, be still. I know your motives. I know you wish him ill. Yes, all of you, wives, children, servants, all, conspire against him and desire his fall, employing every shameful trick you can to alienate me from this saintly man. Ah, but the more you seek to drive him away, the more I'll do to keep him. Without delay, I'll spite this household and confound its pride by giving him my daughter as his bride.
Oh, you're going to force her to accept his hand.
Yes, and this very night, do you understand? I shall defy you all and make it clear that I'm the one who gives the orders here. Come, rats, kneel down and clasp his blessed feet and beg his pardon for your black deceit.
I ask that swindler's pardon. Why, I...
Oh, you insult him and defy your father? No, release me, too, out of my house this minute. Be off with you, and never dare set foot in it again.
Well, I shall go.
Well, go quickly, then. I disinherit you, and empty purse is all you'll get from me. Accept my curse.
how he blasphemed your goodness. What a son.
Forgive him, Lord, as I have already done. You cannot know how it hurts when someone tries to blacken me in my dear brother's eyes. The mere thought of such ingratitude plunges my soul into so dark a mood. Such horror grips my heart. I gasp for breath and cannot speak and feel myself near death.
You blackguard! Why did I spare you? Why did I not break you in little pieces on the spot?
Compose yourself and don't be hurt, dear friend.
These scenes, these dreadful quarrels have got to end. I've much upset your household, and I perceive that the best thing will be for me to leave.
What are you saying?
They're all against me here. They'd have you think me false and insincere.
Oh, what of that? Have I ceased believing in you?
Their adverse talk will certainly continue, and charges which you now repudiate, you may find credible at a later date.
No, brother, never.
Brother, a wife can sway her husband's mind in many a subtle way.
No, no.
To leave at once is the solution. Thus only can I end their persecution.
No, no, I'll not allow it. You shall remain.
Well, 'twill mean much martyrdom and pain. But if you wish it enough, so be it. But one thing must be settled as I see it, for your dear honor and for our friendship's sake. There's one precaution I feel bound to take. I shall avoid your wife and keep away.
No, you shall not. Whatever they may say, it pleases me to vex them. And for spite, I'd have them see you with her day and night. What's more, I'm going to drive them to despair by making you my only son and heir. This very day I'll give to you alone clear deed and title to everything I own. A dear, good friend and son-in-law to be is more than wife or child or kin to me. Will you accept my offer, dearest son?
In all things, the will of heaven be done.
Poor fellow. I'll go draw up the deed. Then let them burst with disappointed grief.